It's not too often that I have the privilege that I have this morning to introduce to you a published author in our midst. Some of you know Ralph Finch, but you may not know that Ralph is a published author. This is his new book. Apparently, his grandchildren came in with a book that talks, a little children's book that talks about the Virginia Tech mascot. He decided he would get one from East Carolina, found out East Carolina didn't have one, so he wrote one. And he is autographing these at book sales across the country. And the cool thing about this is that the proceeds out of this, which they're hoping might be as much as $25,000, is going to buy books for students who come to East Carolina and can't afford them, to buy, and this is something I know about because I've been to a couple of them, etiquette dinners. He's associated with the business school out there, and one of the things they do is teach their kids how to eat in front of executives, and you know, it costs a little bit to provide those kinds of meals. This particular book I'm holding, I believe, is the one that's going to go into the church library. Is that right? So I'm going to present this to Janet. And
I would like to say that one reason I wanted to talk about this today is a big part of it is this, from y'all as Christians. When I got the idea to put this together, I did have all these girls on the team together, and we talked about it. There are all of the mascot books out there, but a lot of them are just some of the Christian covers. We wanted to do something different. And one of the things that I insisted on was my opening page, it says, I thank God for the ability to write this book. So I want y'all to know I got grades because of my relationship with y'all. I'm working hard to get God into the relationship and into the workplace. I am honored that I go to East Carolina often and I'm a guest speaker, not because I was a great student there, failures and successes I've had and all about life. Teaching masks and this sort of thing. And it gives me the opportunity to tell them I want to stand up to what they believe in. I call them Christians. And the second generation that Bill was talking about, I was at one last week, and a young minority student stood up and she said she had come to one before. She was real scared the first time she went out with an executive. Second time, she got a little more confident. And the third time, she was showing her boss's balls what to do. Tears in my eyes. It was worth it. We got a lot of students that haven't had the opportunity to go to a Coleman dinner. We're pleased to be able to help them do that. This book speaks of Christianity as well as the powers. Doesn't feel like you're a power fan to do this in any great universities in our country. This has got to be one of my hearts.
I thought y'all would like to know that. Okay, I forgot my watch this morning, so we may be here for 2 hours. Luckily, there's a clock in the back of the room that they claim is on time. We have been looking in this class for a while at lists out of the Bible, and we've come into a section now that it's a little less clear what the list is because we keep moving back and forth to different lists within this topic. But I want to take just a moment or two. This morning I think I'll just read two verses of Scripture. These are out of the book of John. You don't have to go there if you've been here for the last few weeks. But John chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus was speaking to some of the people in his day, in the time he was on earth, and he said, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." In another place, he talked with Pilate during the arrest and trial before his crucifixion, and he told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my men would have fought." And then he says in John chapter 17, "My disciples are not of this world, just as I am not of this world." And what we've begun to work on is the idea that in Jesus, the spiritual world entered the material world in a way it had not before. Jesus is spiritual in the material, and he was in control of, and in fact overcame, the material world. We've learned also some things we're not going to take time to review today in detail, that the material world is good. There is evil in it, but the material world is good. In Genesis, several times God said, this is good, this is good, this is good, when he was talking about, when the Bible was talking about the creation. And at the end of that, he said, this is very good. We also know from some things that Paul talked about that the spiritual world is not all good. And for that, we go to Ephesians 6, which is where we will be for this morning and maybe for another week or two. The question that we're looking at is, how do we live in the spirit when we are in a material world? When we are in a world made of matter, a world with a physical reality, how do we see and work from the spiritual reality that's here too, but is so much harder to see? In verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul says, finally, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of his power. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are masters of the darkness in this world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. Verse 13, that is why you must take up all of God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day, or stand your ground even though you exert yourselves to the full. Verse 14, so stand your ground. And then he begins to describe God's armor. And what I would like to do this morning is to begin by getting a list up. We started this last time. And so what I want to see is I want to see what the item is and then the actuality that stands behind that. For example, the first thing it says in mine is belt. Can you find that? I think it's also in verse 14.
Right.
But what's the actuality that stands behind it?
Truth.
Okay. What's the second one that's listed? Remember, the picture here is you're sort of like you're looking at a Roman soldier and looking at the armor that the soldier would have. Breastplate. It's not shield because that comes a little bit later, right? Breastplate. What is breastplate? What does it say? Righteousness, which is about a $20 word. Can we get a little bit better term for that? Being in right relationship with God. Sometimes you'll see, I think in at least one translation, it'll say uprightness. And please note, I don't come in right relationship with God. You don't come in right relationship with God because of actions on my part. It's always because of actions on God's part, and I'm simply responding to those. There's not pride here, but humility and gratitude that should come out of that. Nevertheless, that's the one that it matches with breastplate. Okay? What's the next one?
Readiness.
What's the item?
Readiness. Feet. Toes.
Okay? I don't think it's feet.
Shoes,
which go on to the feet, right? Right? You see the pattern I'm trying to go through now? Right. Okay. So shoes.
And
ready. Yeah, but readiness for what? Readiness for what? There's a word you're skipping.
Walk and take it.
There's a word you're missing.
Preparation.
From.
A noun?
One translation says share. This translation says spread. What does yours say?
Ready
to share or spread. These are the two translations I'm looking at right now. You might add something to that later. The gospel of peace. Now, you have another verb to put here. You've been giving me one, and I'm not picking it up yet.
Is it to share? Somehow.
read it the way it's written.
That sounds odd. I know.
Fitted with the readiness. Yeah. Okay. Fitted with. That's still talking about the shoes. Right. If the shoes don't fit, she might be having bunions or blisters or whatever. Right. Okay. Everybody all right? We're going to come back in just a minute and do some more with this. My little friend in the second hour will be real happy with me. I'm using all these different colors at one time. That's what she wants me to do. What's the next item?
Shield.
The next item is a shield. What's the reality or the actuality that stands behind it? Got another one?
Helmet.
Now, I know you want to put them together. Let's keep them apart for just a second. We'll put them back together a little bit later, maybe. And the helmet is?
Salvation.
Anybody see anything odd so far? I thought that's what this was. I thought this is getting mentioned twice. That was provocative. You're supposed to respond and challenge. These aren't the same thing. We're going to have to explore them. There's a difference between these two. We're going to have to explore those. Okay? Just in case you think this means this, Paul doesn't. Okay, is that it?
No.
Oh, no. You've got a sword. Or as one of my friends said, a sword. A sword. Yes. SWORD. Okay. And what does that represent?
The word of God.
The
word
of God.
Which means?
The word of God. The Bible.
Bible.
Scripture.
I think mostly it means Scripture. I think you could argue that, as John said at the first of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that you could argue that you could put it's the Lord Himself there. But I think it fits better if it's Scripture. I think you could perhaps put something else there, but I think it fits better with that. Anything else? Yeah. Notice how verse 18 starts.
Prayer.
Let me just read this through. So stand your ground, verse 14, with truth as a belt around your waist and uprightness as a breastplate. Let me have that one up here. I still think that's the better one. Uprightness as a breastplate, wearing for shoes on your feet the eagerness to spread the gospel of peace. So that's interesting. Eagerness. Not just ready, but eager. Eagerness to spread the gospel of peace and always carrying the shield of faith so that you can use it to quench the burning arrows of the evil one. And then you must take salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. Okay. Now, it's almost as if at this point he's trying to make sure that you understand he's still talking in metaphor and in parallel. This is a spiritual sword. This is not a physical sword. This is a spiritual sword, not a physical sword. Right? So this morning our task is to begin to take this apart, look at it, see if we can put it back together in a way that it means something we can use. So, first of all, what is a soldier supposed to do?
Fight.
Okay? There's this wonderful moment in the movie Patton, which I don't know if I should necessarily recommend it, but it's still a wonderful moment, where he enters this command, and he's there for the first time, and one of the cooks comes out and says, "You want some breakfast, sir?" Remember that moment, some of you? Remember that moment from that movie? He looks the man up and down, looks him up and down, and he says, "You're not dressed like a soldier." That's not his exact words, but that's basically what he's saying. And the poor fellow says, "But sir, I'm just a cook." And Patton says, "You're a soldier, and you ought to look like it." What are soldiers supposed to do? They're supposed to fight. And Patton knew everybody in the army needs to be ready to fight. There's a percentage that actually do, but everybody ought to be ready.
So, if you're going to fight, which of these represents offensive weaponry?
One.
Which ones represent defensive, protective pieces? Five. Interesting ratio. Had you noticed that already? Or is that something you hadn't seen? So, if these are defensive, and I think I can make an argument that they are, these are ones that having them allows you to withstand part of the shock of the offensive of the adversary and still be able to stand your ground, as he says at the front. Okay? This one down here is, I can't say offensive because somebody is going to mispronounce it and say offensive.
Proactive.
Used
proactive
for the offense. Can I say it that way? Because I don't want to say that that's spell out some words that could be mispronounced. All right? The ratio looks like 5-1.
I want you to back up and notice something in the line before. Verse 11. We're just staying at Ephesians 6. You don't have to worry about going anywhere else today. Ephesians 6. Verse 11. Put on the full or whole.
Full or whole armor. If you have a British Bible, there'll be a U in armor.
Just as there is in color. Okay. Verse 13. That is why you must take up
the full.
All, mine says. The full, yours says. Armor.
You notice two times he has said, you gotta take the whole thing. What's he talking about?
You go into combat and you're missing some of your armor, then what happens? You're vulnerable at that spot.
The phrase comes from the Greeks. And it has to do with not the foot, but close to the foot. What's the phrase we use for that? Achilles heel. What's that mean? You remember the story?
He was wearing all this armor, but there was one spot that wasn't covered. Let me move it to more modern days. Star Wars. My grandson has all the Star Wars figures that my son had 30 years ago, and he's beginning to play with them all again. It's fun to watch. If you remember that silly little movie, you may remember the moment they have the Death Star plans. Remember that?
Yes.
And what are they looking for?
A weak spot.
A weak spot. And how many do they find in the whole of the Death Star?
One.
Right?
I don't want to push that any further, but there's something about putting on all of it, not leaving something out. Not leaving something out. Five are defensive. One is for the offense. What are these defensive accounts? What does this or this or this or this or this protect? And I think it's easier to run them backwards because I think another break can be made here, and I tried to make it last time. What's the function of the bell?
Hold
everything else together. Right? That's what holds everything else together. So it's not so much that the belt is protecting the person as much as it is the belt is making all the rest of it work together. Okay. So let's look at these four. What are these protecting? And what I'm asking is, in the life of a person of faith, you have a physical life, you need to eat, you need to work, you need to do all the things you do, but you also have a spiritual life, right? And those things intermingle and intermix. What is it that those things protect against? And the clue is what part of the body do each of these provide protection against? The shoes are easy. What do they protect? How about the breastplate?
The heart.
The heart. It's getting easier, isn't it? The helmet?
My head.
The head. Some of you just went where I wanted you to go.
That's the next step.
Sandy.
You're there. But I got to switch colors before I get there so my friend can take out that.
What about the shield?
That's movable. That can be kept on a lot of things.
Yeah. And I would like to assert, I don't think I'm stretching this metaphor at all. I think I'm trying to just pull out what Paul has put here. He just lay it out in front of you.
This one is a little different. These are protecting you in specific areas. This is protecting all of you, depending on where it's held, against something else. This is against outside. And I don't know what word to use here. Let me use the word threat for the moment. Force. I'm going to use force and not forces. And maybe you'll see why in just a moment. Okay? Let's go to the easy one first. And what color would you like? Can we go to?
Blue.
I've got green. I've got orange. Let's try orange. No, that's a good question.
Orange.
Okay. What is it that you're protecting? Sandy, I heard your voice first.
Mind.
What's the mind? I don't think emotions go there. Where would emotions go?
Rest.
I think emotions would go here. What is it about your mind, specifically?
The reasoning.
It's what you think. It's your thoughts. Okay? So, mind or thoughts, emotions. So far, so good. Let's see you do that one.
Direction.
Keep going. That was a very good, pardon the pun, first step.
That moves all these other things around to different places to face whatever. I don't know what the movability is.
Wherever you go.
Sometimes again we sound like that little children's song. Watch your eyes, watch your ears, watch your feet. Be careful with what they see or hear.
You're getting ready for grandchild, aren't you?
Wouldn't you be?
I'm going to put a green box around this one because I think that's where we've already gone. Now, this isn't perfect and completely thought out yet. But as I contemplate these, I start to see some patterns in here. This is a good list. It's a nice list to analyze out of the Bible. But as I look at this, a bunch of these are defensive, but this one is defensive in a different way from these three. This is defensive in a different way from those four. This one's for the offense, but it's a spiritual weapon. It's not a physical weapon. So as I start thinking about this, there are things that protect my emotions to where I'm not carried away by things. There's a place where Paul, I think it is, says, maybe it's back in the Gospels and Jesus is saying it. You get carried away by every little wind. You're like people on a boat that don't have a rudder. You just, whatever comes along, that's where you go. And both emotions and minds and thoughts get carried by that. The shoes protect your feet. But if you think about that in terms of where you go, it may be with the right kind of spiritual insights, there's places you won't go, or that you won't go without preparation.
It helps to carry you on the right path. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I think that might be a part of it. It's not the only thing, but I think that
and
might be a part of it.
And also, the footprints will direct someone else if they're watching. Like if you're in the snow or in the sand or somewhere that your print could be seen, if you're going in the right direction, someone else following.
Yeah, I had ended up pretty much there. This, it seems to me, is talking about influence. It's talking about influence in at least as one of the things it's talking about. And it's talking about direction. Because it's both where do my feet go and where do my feet encourage somebody else to go. What do I think? What do I encourage other people to think? What do I get upset about? What do I get excited about? And what do I encourage other people to get upset about or excited about? And when I look at it that way, shield is suddenly different. You see that? I don't know what's going on. Everything okay? You're just doing your work. Okay. Everything cool? This one, I think, is different enough. It seems to me there's one, two, three that are talking specifically about me or you, if you're a child of faith. They're talking specifically about me or you. And then this one steps up to be talking about something else. This is talking about outside, maybe not outside threats and forces so much as outside influences. Somebody was going to say something. Sandy, were you jumping in on this a minute ago, or was it?
Going back to the shoes, you also would not wear high heels to go on a hike in the mountains.
Well, it turns out that's not always true either.
You wouldn't go very far if you were wearing high heels.
Yeah. So you have to wear the proper shoes for the proper place that you're going.
And that's, I think, exactly the thing I was thinking, too, is that what kind of shoes do you wear? It's probably different ones for different kinds. There was a wonderful football game. You guys don't watch enough football to worry about, but there was a wonderful football game about 8 years ago, 10 years ago, that was lost because one team had the right shoes and one team had the wrong shoes. There was some kind of big weather thing, and there was an icy field and all this, and one team, every time they try to take a cut, got to be falling on his bottom and sliding down the thing, and the other team, they kept their feet, and the defenders were able to defend, and the offenders were able to offend, and they won the game because they didn't, you know, and the commentators were saying they didn't have the right kind of shoes. They needed longer spikes, or they needed something else, and it was, so what kind of shoes you have, there's certain kinds of things that you match up. That, again, is still part of the metaphor. The truth that stands there is the shoes are representing something. What do they represent?
Confidence.
Okay. I want to kind of help you with that, too.
Presence. Being trained and knowing, thinking. You should have mind also to think what you're being.
Okay, you're halfway there. Can you get the rest of the way?
Knowing what you're outside, where you're going. Ahead.
Why
of
would I go someplace?
Because the Spirit asks you, moves you to go.
Why would that move me to go?
Because you're listening. I'm praying. Uh-huh. That's the last thing. I'm trying to be in contact with my relationship with God.
Here's the word I came up with. Sit the fix. I think that one is talking about priorities. Can you see it? I don't think it's a stretch, but you're going to sound like the first time you hear it. What is all this talking about? The direction and the influence. It's talking about how do I set my priorities?
That's supposed to be the IES, not the YS.
What I decide is important enough to do, that I'll do that first. Readiness and eagerness, I think, are the clues that might be true. Readiness and eagerness to respond to what God's called us to do. And what has God called us to do? He called us to live our lives in such a way that He can be able to influence people because of our lives the way we live. And that means attractive. That means encouraging curiosity. So, can you see how both direction and influence come into this? But I think more than anything else, it's talking about setting priority. And here's what I'm wondering. Is there a piece of that in some of the others? Is there a piece of that in some of the others? Sort of a first things first idea. It comes to the helmet. There's this wonderful set of verses, and it's just in the next little book, and I think it's easy to find, so let me go over there and see if I can find it. Okay. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, let your minds be filled with everything that is true. That's the first one on this list. Everything that is honorable. Everything that is upright. Everything that is pure. Everything that is lovely. Everything that is admirable. Filled with whatever is good. Filled with whatever is praiseworthy. Keep on doing everything you learned from me, or were told by me, or have heard of me doing, or have seen of me doing, and then the God of peace will be with you. I see, in a sense, tying together a good piece of this one
end with the influences that we have on others. Paul saying, if I've had any influence on you, follow that. Now, we spent a long time on this one, and a little bit of time on this one. What are we going to do with breastplate? With protecting the heart. Protecting the heart.
Protecting the emotions, if you will.
There's a verse in Proverbs that says, keep thy heart with all diligence, while utter it on the issues of life.
Mm-hmm. I won't be able to find it because I've got the wrong Bible with me right now. Mine was lost, but someday will be found. There's a verse where Jesus says, watch what somebody says, for the good things that good people do come out of the store of goodness that's in their hearts. And the bad things that bad people do comes out of the store of badness that's in their hearts. Take care of what's in your heart. I think that speaks to this one in a way that echoes that verse. And then again, I think that little song, be careful little eyes, what you see, be careful little ears, that's very appropriate for this.
The sword can also be used as a defensive, in that if someone, whenever you see people that are in a sword, they're not just poking at one another, they're also using it as a cross, you know, to the block thing. So that kind of can have a...
I want to commend you, because it took me an hour or two or three to get to that point, to recognize the defensive nature of all these. There's one that is for the offense, but it's not only for the offense. All these have a defensive role, a way of protecting us so that we can live our lives the way God wants us to. God talks in a number of places through his prophets in the Old Testament about a hedge of protection that he puts around people.
I think in sports terms, a lot of teams that focus too much on offense don't come out with a good record. I think it's sort of like a good defense is the best offense type of thing.
What is it about the emotions that needs protection, and what is it about righteousness or uprightness or being in right relationship with God that provides that? Because that's the connection I want to try to help you make.
That's a control. If you have the right mission of God, it's going to lead you to control your emotions. They're more directed.
As long as you will say, it will let the Spirit have more control.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Because I think, boy, when I have control, I don't know how well it goes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, allowing God to do that, it's the Spirit.
John?
When you talk about the heart, that's the first thing that Christ said is part of the love of God, which is love the Lord your God with your whole heart.
You got to say something?
Yeah, I said when he was saying that, made me think, you know, the heart is the one that sends everything all through the rest of your body, with your blood.
Yeah.
It's a system that connects everything else here, too.
If we switch medicine into this, some of these open up even further. That's true. Yes.
With the children, when they're having a bad attitude or have a problem with another child or a teacher, I tell them to check their heart. What's your heart attitude? Because what's in their heart is what's going to come out, what's going to influence. And sometimes their heart, when it's changed to be right with God, it changes the whole outside relationship with that other person.
Put yourself for a moment in the Garden of Eden. Eve's got what some people say is an apple sitting in front of her and a snake standing between them. And the snake says, doesn't that look good? Don't you want some? And she says, God said I'm not supposed to eat that. And the snake basically says, no, God's lying to you. God is not to be believed. Being in right relationship with God, I think, suggests you begin to see things the way God sees things. You begin to see things as they are, not as the world, or as the evil one in the world would have you begin to see them. And out of that you can begin to have emotions that line up the way they ought to. You can be exercised and concerned and motivated about the right things and not about the wrong things. And we live in a world where people are regularly manipulated in how they respond emotionally to lots of different things. And maybe you're a little bit inoculated against that if you've got a relationship with God that lets you see the truth of things.
Remember how the belt holds everything together? I think you can pick this up and put this in each of these as well. If you're in right relationship with God, you start to be able to see things as they are. You start to see the truth of things. How does salvation protect your mind and your thoughts?
Let me help you because we're running low on time. What does salvation bring with it? Number one, the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. That means it finally becomes possible to have God's help in the area of your thinking, in the area of your mind.
Shield says faith. The shield, it says, is representing your only hope of being able to stand up when Satan begins to work on you. When Satan does begin to work on you. Begins to get you to believe things that aren't true and do things that aren't good for you to do, and begins to take you to places you don't want to be and not take you to places you ought to be and you're thinking. The shield can guard against it. How does faith do that? What is it about faith that does that? I'm not going to have a full answer, but I've got a partial answer. What's it about faith that does that?
That's an illegal metaphor.
You're back to the metaphor. Stay with the spiritual of the faith. What is it about faith that does that?
Trust in God.
Faith provides trust.
Yeah. A trust that God is, that what He says is truth. If I can just begin to understand it, that I have the promise of the Spirit's help to begin to help me do that.
I can rely on.
And whatever comes. Whatever comes. I may not be able to deal with it. But with the Spirit's help, God can deal with it. How many people are going to end up being wounded by our sword? I'm moving to the, not the defensive part, but the sword is used for the offense. What happens?
Material world.
There are times when you can remember Scripture. And if you can remember a verse of Scripture, sometimes you'll be able to either stand in a situation or bring some kind of extra peace to this. I like what Ralph was saying a little while ago. I put those words in the foreword, so as I'm signing the book, those words are over here on the other page, and I can point to them. And I think you said two or three times already in some of the conversations with people that you were talking to about this book, you've had an opening to talk about your faith because of this. If you don't know any Scripture, you're disarmed. Can people be cut with these things? Yes. You can be cut to the quick because all of a sudden God can enter through that verse of Scripture, through those words from somebody who is not pridefully, but with humility and gratitude, standing in right relationship with God and says something. And all of a sudden you can realize there's more going on here than I've ever thought about. And the spiritual breaks into the material. Something that can happen for you, and it probably has happened for you if you're a child of God, if you're a person of faith, and it can happen through you with other people. Right?
Isn't it kind of all praying together that we're empty vessels, and if we act in a defensive manner, we don't let the bad things into our lives, so we allow the Lord to fill us with goodness and keep out the bad, and therefore allows us to use our sword.
If we see that as a weapon that's physical, there's this horrible phrase that came from the middle of the Cold War, kill a communist for Christ. Remember that phrase? I never liked it when I first heard it. Luckily, I don't hear it anymore. We're talking about spiritual warfare. The sword is not physical, but it has a reality and a strength that goes far beyond the physical.
God wants your heart and your emotions protected and under His influence. He wants your mind and your thoughts protected and under His influence. He wants where you go and what you do and the path that you set for others to follow, your influence, affected by your relationship with Him. And He wants you eager to be responsive and obedient. Setting your priorities, He wants to be a part of that. He wants you protected when Satan decides you're the one that needs to be sifted this week. And He wants you to have some sense of what reality actually is, because it helps hold everything else together. And He wants you in His Word, knowing His Word, so that you're armed and not disarmed when times of conflict come and times of confusion and times of doubt begin to present themselves. God wants you wearing all of His armor, not just part of it. A lot of Christians have that and not much else. And they're not ready for combat.
Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank You for the time You've given us this morning and the things that You've given us to think about. And I pray that the people who are part of this class and the people who are part of this church and the people who have a chance to be influenced by You through one of those people can begin to get a glimpse of what it is that is real and how You have provided us both with protection and with the ability to respond in Your kind of response to the times when the evil one begins to try to work against us and against those we love and care about. Be with us all through this coming week. Give us Your guidance. Show us Your priorities. And bring us into closer obedience and trust in You. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.